It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Hour three, triple option with RBKD. We have not been working like a dog. It's Monday during football season. You know what that means. Don't tell our bosses. We'd probably do this for free. It is, well, BK's shaking his head. No.
That ain't true!
Rod's giving me the typical Rod. Yeah, I'd do this.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
If I won the lottery, I would still keep this job.
I would too.
If I win the that's how you know you love your job. If you win the lottery, you quit your job. Most people are like, hell yeah, I'm quitting my job.
Rod and I are like, we wouldn't quit. BK just gave a look. You'd be on an island, wouldn't you?
You guys quickly would never see me again.
I didn't think so.
Actually, I'd invite you all to come hang out on that island.
Thank you.
But I wouldn't be working another day in my life.
Well, we could do the show from there. That is the All-American Rod Babers. We got Brad Kellner. I'm Kevin Dunn. We'll take you all the way up until 7 o'clock. Obviously, kind of a short week this week, but an exciting one is we actually, so far, knock on wood, have game day all set up. 7 o'clock on Friday, 7 in the morning is when it'll get started, an 11 a.m. kick. Before we get back to some football, and namely pro football, with Cowboys and the Texans, good weekend, got some NBA breaking news. What do we got, BK?
Involving one of the teams in the state of Texas, the Houston Rockets are nearing a one-year deal with four-time NBA All-Star DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie!
That's right, Boogie Cousins, according to ESPN's Tim McMahon, has agreed to a one-year contract with the Houston Rockets. So we talked about it last week, right? All the rumors surrounding James Harden, all the rumors surrounding Russell Westbrook. It feels like both of those guys are trying to get out of Houston, but it also feels like the Rockets are trying to do whatever they can to keep those two guys in Houston. And they go out and pick up Boogie Cousins, who has obviously battled a lot of injuries over the last few years. Before that, he was one of the best big men in the NBA. Still relatively productive last year when he played. There you go. The Rockets making a splash, mini splash in free agency.
So he had the quad, and then also the Achilles is the one that worries me the most at his size. Yeah. We've seen him since the Achilles, right?
Yeah. Not much, though, right? Because they were back-to-back injuries.
So he didn't play at all last year.
Yeah, because he had the back-to-back.
Yeah.
So no, we haven't.
Yeah, because he's basically disappeared after it. Because I remember when he came back from the first injury, and everybody was really high on him coming back, and then it was devastating after he went down with that second one. And you haven't heard from him since. I hadn't heard any reports about him.
Yeah, last played for Golden State in those finals 2 years ago.
That's right.
When they lost to the Toronto Raptors, and he was just coming off an injury there. Was able to contribute a little bit, but looked very, very rusty, and then he got hurt again that following offseason. So it's been a minute since Boogie Cousins has taken the floor in an NBA game.
You know what? It's a good bargain, though, because
it's low risk.
Yeah, it's exactly,
it's
right?
Low
it's a
risk.
Good bargain, because I forgot all about Boogie Cousins. I'm not going to lie to you. And you're trying to entice these superstars, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, to stay with the Rockets. The way you do that, you just make it a more palatable situation. They believe they can win a championship there if you bring in more pieces. I didn't think they had a lot of room to bring in pieces. They didn't have a lot of draft capital or salary cap room to maneuver, but this may give them enough to at least start the conversation with those guys.
And he's got some championship pedigree, gentlemen.
Who?
Boogie Cousins. He started last season on the Lakers, so he technically gets a ring.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He and Avery Bradley.
Wow.
No, he did way less than Avery Bradley. Boogie Cousins didn't even play.
So you get – that's amazing.
Yeah.
Good. I guess everybody in the organization
gets
it.
Because he was on the roster at the start of the season. So he got hurt in the offseason in August. He tore his ACL. And I guess there was a thought that maybe he'd be able to come back and play at some point, but then the Lakers made a move, and then they waived Boogie Cousins in February. So I'm pretty sure he's getting a ring with the L.A. Lakers.
That's amazing.
I like the move. I like the move because it's not a huge risk, and they had to get some size. That was the biggest thing when you take over that roster, right? Can we get someone taller than 6'6 or 6'7 in here?
Pocket Rockets.
They're fun.
I mean, now you start to think about what the Rockets could look like with that kind of healthy Boogie Cousins. I mean, if they keep Russell Westbrook,
that's pretty sexy, man.
They keep James Harden. They still got Eric Gordon. I mean, they still got some pieces. They went and picked up Christian Wood in free agency a couple of days ago. That guy's a pretty solid up-and-coming player. And you throw Boogie Cousins in the mix. I mean, you understand why Houston wants to keep James Harden and Russell Westbrook around, right? If you get rid of those guys, you got to start completely over.
Yeah.
they still feel like they're a couple of moves away from maybe competing for an NBA championship since they made the playoffs, I think, 8 years in a row, and they've gotten close a couple of times. They still want to run it back at least one more time. We'll see how this thing goes. I don't know if this version of Boogie Cousins is going to keep James Harden and Russell Westbrook happy, but of course we know the Rockets hold the cards, right? Because Harden and Westbrook are both under contract. So
right.
If they don't want to trade them, they don't have to trade them.
Yeah, it is. It's just for the Rockets. I understand exactly why they're trying to make this push to keep the guys. It makes perfect sense. There are only so many superstars, true, kind of franchise-changing superstars in the NBA. Yes, there are a lot of great players. Yes, there are some stars. I'm talking about the guys that are MVP-caliber players, those kind of guys, right? There aren't many of them in the NBA. When you got one of those guys on your roster, you better do everything in your power to keep them.
Yeah.
Because they just, it's very rare when you can get multiple superstars, MVP caliber guys locked up like that. That's how you know you're giving yourself a chance, especially in the West, man. Because if you just have one of those guys, you got no shot in the West, especially with the roster, the depleted roster that the Rockets have. You got two of those guys, you got an outside shot in the West. The West is still just so, it's just brutal. I mean, you got the Lakers, and you got the Clippers, and then you got the Nuggets are a decent team, and I mean, the Golden State Warriors are supposed to be trying to come back, and now they got the Klay Thompson thing, but man, you got so many young, up-and-coming teams. The Jazz is a decent, you know, franchise.
Did you mention Dallas?
I didn't even mention Dallas. I apologize, Luka, my bad. Yeah, Dallas.
No, he's listening.
Yeah, so my point is, it's just, they got to have two. If you don't have two, you might as well rebuild. If you can't keep both of them, you might as well rebuild.
Did you guys see on Sunday Night Football last night, Raiders Chiefs, which was a pretty spectacular football game, by
the way.
It
was
great. And I'll tip the cap to Derek Carr. I think even in a losing effort, he proved a lot of people wrong with the way he played last night. I thought he was really, really good.
Gruden, too. I got to admit, I was wrong going Gruden.
John,
I just think Gruden worked out the way it is. He's doing a damn good job.
The Raiders right now hold the seventh and final playoff spot in the AFC, so they're very much still in the mix of the postseason picture. But they had all these crazy audibles. So the beauty of not having fans in the stands at these games is you can really hear every single call that was being made.
Al Michaels said that it felt like having a third guy in the booth. And it did.
Yeah.
With Carr especially.
Carr was super loud, man. And you've got all those weird-ass John Gruden audibles, right? Your Spider 2 Y Banana bits that dude is so fond of using.
They dropped that, too, last night.
Uh-huh.
You see that one?
They had a James Harden audible.
That's fantastic.
And I knew exactly what that meant. Means they're not passing. If you call James Harden, that means it's going to be a running play. And sure enough, it was a running play last night. I got a huge kick of that.
They had a Mamba one, too, and it was a Josh Jacobs tackle play, off-tackle play.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that.
No, I forgot what it was, something Mamba. Jacobs is good.
That's what we don't talk about him enough. Josh Jacobs is playing really well.
You know what? I'm with you all, too. And, and you got to be able to do it as a sports fan. You got to give Carr some love. And he just felt more in control. He felt more confident. He's one of those quarterbacks, when he's not sure of himself, we all see it on TV. You can feel it. And he's pretty confident right now.
He wears it on his sleeve.
He really does.
Guys. He's got no poker face at all. He was crying when he got hurt in one of those games. Nothing wrong with that. I think it may make him a really good leader. And I think Gruden likes that. I think Gruden kind of, Gruden's all emotional. Yeah,
okay.
Gruden kind of likes
guys. Because I felt like he and Gruden don't mesh well.
They may not, but I think he likes the emotional reactions. Like, Gruden's an emotional guy. Gruden's all swept up in the moment. He's one of those guys that lives in the moment. And I didn't think it'd work out with the Raiders, but considering the way they are building their franchise to counter the Chiefs, because you got to build your team to beat to win the division. They're doing a really good job kind of building that team to compete with the best team in football, which is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. And I got to go back and start watching those Raiders games. Paul Gunther, I believe, is the defensive coordinator's name. He's doing a really good job. You don't the Gunther?
No, I do. Last night there was a deflection, and he's on the sideline.
Oh, I saw that.
The ball's deflected, and it's coming towards him, and he punches it down to the ground.
And Ho's got fisted.
He fisted it.
That was great.
It was such a defensive coordinator move.
Yeah.
Putting the ball right there in the turkey hole.
There's your John Gruden drop of the day. Putting the ball right there in the turkey hole. I want to play this audio because our man CB just sent this to us on Twitter. This is from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. This is in regards to Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys' big win yesterday. You heard it here on the horn, 31-28. The first win for Dallas since the Dak Prescott injury way back in week 5. It's the last time the Cowboys won a football game. This is week 11, so it had been a while for Dallas. But they pull off the upset up in Minneapolis, And how about this? This is an NFL Network report. I haven't listened to this audio myself, but just reading the caption, I feel like this thing is worth playing. Apparently, Mike McCarthy did something within the Cowboys facilities on Saturday before kickoff in Minnesota, and it worked. Here's what he did.
Well, Red, if the Cowboys go on a run here, we might look back on this win over the Vikings as the sledgehammer game. Saturday night at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective, bam, smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I got to get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon. Look what it translates to in the game yesterday. They played inspired. They played physical. Donovan Wilson, the safety, comes up with two of the biggest plays in that game. A strip sack on Kirk Cousins where he probably got away with helmet-to-helmet contact. And then that monster hit on Dalvin Cook that jarred the ball loose, and it was recovered by none other than DeMarcus Lawrence. Just like that, Cowboys back in the NFC East race, and maybe, Rhett, finding their personality here.
How about that, guys?
A Gallagher bit?
A Gallagher bit.
Goes with a Gallagher bit?
Old school,
the
man.
Year of the watermelon for the Cowboys, right? Oh. You had the watermelon onside kick from Greg Zuerlein in that Falcons game, and now you've got smashing watermelons in the ballroom of a Minnesota hotel the night before kickoff. So whatever it takes, it's clear the Cowboys aren't trying to take right now. They are trying to win. And whatever Mike McCarthy did on Saturday night appeared to work because that defense played pretty well yesterday.
What's going to happen next week? Carrot top bit?
Hey, whatever's working.
This is a toilet, but a toilet you can also... All right.
Whatever they're doing is working. What do you do before the Pittsburgh game? Did they do some kind of weird bit before that game, too?
I don't know. I don't remember hearing anything like
yeah.
that.
Keep it up, man.
Hey, if it brought them together, then
you'd
whatever.
Be surprised. Didn't some team bring a chainsaw to the football field last week, some college football team? Because they were playing really well. They got like a turnover chainsaw. I don't know what it is. Like a defensive chainsaw. Hey, if you going to win games with it, damn it, we going to keep it going.
Yeah.
Sir, you cannot bring a chainsaw on the field. Hey, we won the last 2 weeks with this damn chainsaw. The chainsaw's coming on the field.
Yeah. And the Titans just went 90 canes at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, you
know. We're going to be at midfield and just start talking noise to you.
Which, by the way, the Titans, I mean, I guess because the Texans play the Titans a lot. Titans do that every game. The Titans do that. They do that almost every game.
Yeah, because it's a team meeting at midfield.
Yeah, they go to the midfield of every stadium. So it wasn't just specific to
Around and then start walking towards that bench and yapping at him?
I think the Ravens took it more personally because the Ravens were mad they got beaten.
Salty.
Twice in 10 months you've been beat by this team. Right. That's probably why you're mad about it.
And that's also the Ravens' bit, because Lamar Jackson, with his comments after the game, kind of insinuated that we got punked a little bit. They wanted it more, he said. And that's been the Ravens' bit for 20 years.
Really?
Anytime you got Ray Lewis and Ed Reed as your main guys, they had a Miami Hurricanes, we are going to intimidate you type feel. The Titans kind of have that right now.
I agree with you on that. They like to fight. They likes to fight guy.
Titans
likes to fight guy.
Yeah, and they won't take it outside, too. They'll fight you inside.
They like barroom fights.
I thought this part was interesting.
Ears are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked.
McCarthy's pants are soaked.
Because of the watermelon?
Oh, okay.
There you go. Boom, the smashing of the watermelon there.
See that excited about? Interesting. It's a room full of dudes. You know what? Whatever.
That's a great... I'm sorry. Now that's a drop, I'm assuming. McCarthy's pants are soaked.
McCarthy's pants
are soaked. Every time the Cowboys win, McCarthy's pants are soaked.
Or anytime they have a bad call, he peed his pants.
Oh, man. Big time win for the Cowboys, though. They're still very much in the mix, gentlemen. I mean, every team in the NFC East has 3 wins. It's remarkable because we're about to go into week 12, but Dallas very much in the mix, and they do have the easiest remaining schedule of any team in that division. And KD, if you're looking to watch any of those Cowboys games moving forward, where should you go?
Well, it's considering that you're competing for a division and you're trying to make a run to the Super Bowl, BK, because
yes,
I really think both those can happen. Pluckers would be a great spot. Lots of people are going to be cooking, obviously, this upcoming week, and you need a day or two off. Stop by Pluckers, watch some football. Be a great place to watch the Texas game. You got 7 locations in Austin. Get to Pluckers.com. You can also use that website to order online, which is great. So you just go ahead and order, go pick it up, head on back to the house, and watch all the games. It's Pluckers.com. Pluckers, if you don't like our wings, we will give you the bird.
So the Cowboys, an impressive win yesterday. They were 7-point dogs, but they find a way to get it done. Cowboys fans don't even know how to react because I think a lot of Cowboys fans are hoping this team loses a whole hell of a lot more over these final couple of months. But now, once again, still very much alive and well in the lowly NFC East this year. Other thoughts on the Texans? Gentlemen, the Texans get a win over New England.
Yeah.
Their first win over not Jacksonville this year. I said it earlier, they did the country a solid because I think there's a lot of Patriots fatigue with football fans all over the world. And look, the Patriots aren't mathematically eliminated from the postseason, right? There's still plenty of games left to be played. But New England now 4-6 in what is a very, very deep AFC this year. So it feels like their chances to qualify for the playoffs took a massive, massive hit. And Deshaun Watson, Rodby, it's nice that he finally gets rewarded with a win because you've talked about it a lot. I mean, he's playing some damn good football this year, and there are some statistical categories that show he's actually having his best season in the NFL. Now, people don't talk about it because the Texans were 2-7 going into yesterday, but he played spectacularly, and his team actually rewarded him with a W.
No, it's amazing, and even versus the Patriots, right? Bill Belichick is the GOAT, no doubt about that. But we know Bill Belichick is a defensive genius. Look at Watson's numbers versus the Patriots since 2019. By the way, last year defense was a top five defense, and even this year still have one of the better secondaries and pass defenses in the NFL. Deshaun Watson 2-0 versus the Pats, 289 passing yards per game. 9.3 yards per attempt versus that Patriots defense. 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. It's just passing because he's got a couple of rushing touchdowns in there too. 74% completion percentage with a 130 passer rating. Well, actually 129.6. I rounded up. But you get my point. He's balling versus the Patriots. If you look at all other quarterbacks versus the Patriots in that same time span, their completion percentage is 60%. His is 74.2%. Yards per attempt is 6.7. Deshaun Watson's 9.3. They've got 23 touchdowns and 34 interceptions, other quarterbacks versus the Patriots since 2019. But Deshaun, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And they have a 71.5 passer rating versus the Patriots since 2019. All other NFL quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson combined, of course, collectively, and Deshaun Watson's at 129.6. He's just, and like I said, against Bill Belichick, it's hard to play your best football like that as a young quarterback, but he still shines. So he's the real deal. He should be able to, and I saw this, and I'll talk about it more tomorrow in our Texans Tuesday, but I saw something that's a really good headline that made me feel good as a Texans fan, that Cal McNair actually is going to seek out Deshaun Watson's opinion and input on the next coach.
Nice.
That's smart.
Yeah. You would think that that'd been a foregone. It should have been just common sense.
That's too smart.
I'm glad it's happening. I'm glad it's being reported. Yeah.
That's got to be fake news, man. The Texans would never do something that makes that much sense.
Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to go. I think he's going to say he likes Eric Bieniemy in that Kansas City offense.
Oh, hell yeah.
I guess
he does?
He's going to say, like, I like that offense and I want to play in that offense.
No, that's the hire you have to make if you're Houston, right? I mean, if Bieniemy takes that job because it feels like he'll have his pick of the litter. Now, another thing with Eric Bieniemy, because of the ridiculous NFL coaching search rules, you're going to have to wait until the Chiefs get eliminated from the playoffs,
so
which I think cost him and Robert Saleh a job last year. It's because those two teams, the Chiefs and the Niners, made it to the Super Bowl, so that's the risk you have to take. You got to make sure you have Bieniemy. Otherwise, all of the other candidates are going to be scooped up by other teams.
Yeah, just hope that Chiefs defense keeps on playing like that. You may get that sooner than most of us think.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. All right, so Cowboys and Texans both get wins yesterday. Rod B., your rant of the day. What you got today?
I want to talk Texas, Iowa State. Obviously, short week, so we're going to focus on the task at hand. There are two elements, two factors that are going to be huge in this game, one on the defensive side of the ball for Texas, one on the offensive side of the ball for Texas. We will talk about them both, and we'll dive into Texas, Iowa State, start to skim the surface of this matchup a little bit before we dive into it. All that and more right here on Rod's Rant of the Day, right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite
and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And I want to talk Texas Iowa State. We'll be previewing this game pretty much all week long. And, of course, the short week because it is the holiday week. But, of course, we'll be talking a lot about Texas Iowa State. So I want to start with what I think, at least for offense and defense, which could be X factors for Texas, and which has already really, I think, helped the Texas defense. Tom Herman was asked about, you know, what he thinks the biggest switch. I think someone asked him, what has flipped, what have you flipped a switch on defense? Like, what have you done differently that has kind of changed what, you know, changed the trajectory of the defense and changed kind of the identity of the defense? And he said nothing. He said reps was the biggest change for the defense. That's what's helped the defense the most. They've gotten reps in his Chris Ash defense, and they just look a lot more comfortable. He also pointed out, while he was kind of ranting there, he also pointed out that the tackling's gotten a whole lot better. And I think he's right on the money there. If I had to point out one thing, the biggest factor in the improvement on the defensive side of ball, and I think it goes hand in hand that the linebackers are improving, as I've talked about, the linebackers at one point were a liability. Now the linebackers are a strength for that defense. I think the only weakness for the defense, in my opinion right now, is the cornerback position specifically. And that's actually getting better, too. And tomorrow I'll talk about why that's getting better. I got some film study that I'm breaking down. But the linebackers now performing at a high level, and Juwan Mitchell and DeMarvion Overshown, it's pretty obvious. You look the last 3 weeks, nobody on defense plus played more than Juwan Mitchell and DeMarvion Overshown. So that Chris Ash, out of anybody on that defense, he's starting to trust those guys as much as anybody on that defense, and maybe because he had to. Maybe he didn't have a choice. They were his two top linebackers. But you're starting to see those guys, and give Coleman Hustle some credit. Those guys are really starting to develop. And I coach Hayden? Is it Hayden?
Mark Hagan.
Hagan, thank you very much. I've been messing up his name a lot. He's also doing a really good job at the defensive line along with Oscar Giles. But the tackling, gentlemen, the tackling. And I've been keeping up with tackling. Everybody's got their own tackling numbers. It's subjective. Pro Football Focus will have their numbers. I'll have my own. Everybody's got their own definition of what a missed tackle is. I'm usually pretty conservative in my missed tackles. If you don't try or make an effort to tackle someone, that's not a missed tackle. You're just lazy. I don't even really count that.
Noted. But
yeah, like
I won't have any missed tackles with
you. Yeah, exactly.
You,
sometimes you might not have a missed tackle because you're just lazy and you're never around the damn ball.
You can't get to the ball.
Yeah, you can't get to the ball enough. You can't get off a damn block to get to it. And if you are engaged with the blocker, also not a missed tackle. Some people kind of miss tackle if a guy's blocking you and you miss tackle. It's like, he's being blocked. I mean, he's taking on two guys. How can it be a missed tackle?
You can argue that he should have shed it, but it's not going to be a missed tackle.
To me, it's not a missed tackle. You have to actually make the effort to tackle someone. Anyway, so my missed tackle stat is conservative. But I remember that Texas Tech game. I counted 19 missed tackles for 167 additional yards in that game. And that almost meant disaster for Texas. I mean, that's the biggest reason why they had such a defensive collapse. But they started to steadily improve. And you look at it, they had 13 that I counted versus TCU for 91 yards. They had 12 versus Oklahoma for 71 yards. I know, it's baby steps, but it was improvement. But then comes the bye week. And remember, that was an emphasis on the rush defense and improving on rush defense. And versus Baylor, I know, and Baylor is not Oklahoma, and they weren't even Texas Tech at the time, or even TCU, actually, at the time. Texas only had 8 missed tackles versus Baylor for 43 yards, and that was the key, that 43 yards allowed. That means they were rallying to the football better, and they were in a better position. Even when they missed tackles, they were in a better position to force the ball carrier to at least change direction or to cut it back inside to where the help would be. Versus Oklahoma State, they did have 14 missed tackles that I counted versus Oklahoma State for 101 yards. But it wasn't as destructive as you would have thought, because all of that came from Spencer Sanders on broken plays. It wasn't Chuba that hurt him in that. And remember those screen passes? Like, they had 3 or 4 screens versus Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And Texas, they just caught him off guard. It was just really good execution by Oklahoma State. That's where I think like 4 or 5 of those missed tackles end up on screen passes alone. So it the number was at 14, but and just watching it, the eye test, it wasn't as bad as like the Texas Tech game when they missed 19, or even that TCU game, in my opinion, too. But the West Virginia game, going up against Letty Brown, where they had their lowest missed tackle total of the season. I counted only 7 missed tackles. This is in Big 12 play. Of course, UTEP, we just throw it out because we don't need to discuss UTEP. That's not realistic. But there was their lowest missed tackle total of the season in Big 12 play with 7, and their lowest amount of yards allowed via missed tackles with 30 yards allowed via the missed tackles. So they're just getting better at rallying to the football, and I think most of it is the linebackers are just in a better position. Their run fits are better. They're taking on blocks with the right shoulder, using the right leverage. I think both of those guys have now become and Juwan Mitchell really didn't have a problem with this, but remember he lost a lot of weight in the offseason? Early on, those guys were having problems getting off blocks and working through traffic. Now those guys are working through traffic better. They don't get knocked off of their pathway to the football because one guy, an offensive lineman, nicked them. That was happening early on. They'd get thrown way off of their run fits. Now those guys are fitting, and their fits are a lot cleaner. And that's going to be the key versus Breece Hall, gentlemen. I went back and looked at last year's forced missed tackle stat for Pro Football Focus, and they have Breece Hall with the most forced missed tackles for a freshman last year with 57. He's got 41 so far this year. He is a forced missed tackle machine. He makes guys miss. He gets slippery, gets skinny at the right time when he needs to, and he's really good at working through traffic. And arm tackles don't bring him down. They just don't. You got to wrap him up, and you got to bring your hips with you. That's going to be a big test for the defense. I know it sounds simple, but that is the biggest reason for this turn, this about-face in rush defense has been the fact that they are just tackling better as a team on the perimeter, but mostly those linebackers inside. This is going to be a hell of a test for those linebackers, not only stopping Breece Hall and making sure they wrap him up cleanly, but those tight ends, man. Every now and then, this linebacker is going to be put in coverage situations, and they're going to have to cover 6'6 and 6'7. And if they can do that, and like I said, try to avoid Juwan Mitchell being in that situation. But those linebackers can cover in space as well and also have to deal with the play-action game. And let's not forget Brock Purdy, as BK mentioned. He can beat your running. He had his highest rushing total of the season versus K-State last game. So he can beat you as a runner, too. So those linebackers are going to be put in a ton of conflict, guys, not only because they got to face the most productive runner in the country, but also you got those tight ends and a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of funk, pre-snap movement, and also you got a quarterback that can run. That usually is the kind of the trifecta, which can really catch the attention, really catch the eyes of those linebackers and get them in conflict, and that's what they're going to try to do. But they're in a much better position than they were early in the season. I think those guys can handle some of that conflict. They did a much better job versus Oklahoma State. But as we saw, Spencer Sanders made some plays.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It can't stop everything.
They've improved as much as anyone, probably more so than any unit on this team. If you go back to the very beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And especially Overshown. Guys, Overshown. Now, it's understood coming from strong safety, coming from safety to linebacker. But he would take some curious routes
to the football. Yeah, trying to avoid contact.
That's what he was. I mean, he would go up to a couple times early on. Mm-hmm. He'd go up to a pile and then go all the way around it. And I thought, no, we can't do that. This isn't a car wreck. That's
exactly right.
That we're going to take a different street. You got to go through that street.
Yeah.
And he's doing that now.
That's a great way to describe it, that in the layman's terms, exactly what he was doing. He was trying to run up almost like a safety, like he was the last line of defense. No. You're not a safety. You're not last line of defense anymore. No. Yeah. You're the second line defense.
You're the right collision.
There. Yeah, you got it. I need you to go
in there.
You used
to be the ambulance coming up to it. You're that collision now.
Now I need you to create havoc, and I think he's doing a better job with that too. The other side of this equation, because I think tackling is going to be big for the Texas defense, obviously, and they've been doing a much better job at that. So on the season, if you want the season total, 73 missed tackles in Big 12 play. I have them at for 503 additional yards allowed. But as I pointed out,
it's gotten better.
First three games, it was 44 missed tackles in the first three Big 12 games for 329 yards allowed. Additional yards allowed, I should say. Last three games, only 29 missed tackles. I say only, because it's much better. 29 missed tackles for 174 additional yards allowed. So getting better, man. Getting better. All right, let's jump to the other side of that, because I think Texas has their own weapon in terms of being a difficult ball carrier to tackle on the offensive side. Of course, we know about Sam Ehlinger. Sam Ehlinger's going to be fresher, and Bam Bam Sam sure is going to make an appearance or two because he'll have 20 days up until that time to rest up, and a fresh Sam Ehlinger gets me giddy, just gets me all giddy. But also,
wash your pants, Mike McCarthy.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, there you go, right? Bijan Robinson, gentlemen. Can't say enough about how good he's looked in the last three games. Now, like I said, everybody counts missed tackles, forced missed tackles differently. Pro Football Focus have what they call avoided tackles. And I don't know the difference between avoided tackles and forced missed tackles. Because Pro Football Focus has both, right?
Yeah, they do.
Forced missed tackles. And they got broken tackles, by the way. They got broken tackles, forced missed tackles, and avoided tackles. I'm like, I don't know the difference between all of those. So
I'm waiting for slippery tackles. Like, how many are we going to have
here,
guys?
How many we got here?
So the guy wasn't tackled, right?
He wasn't. But I usually count how many. I kind of count the same way I count missed tackles. If a guy makes the effort to tackle Bijan and fails, that's a missed tackle.
Yeah.
I counted 9 of them versus West Virginia.
For Bijan. Nice.
Wow.
Pro Football Focus had 6. Okay. So they got, but theirs is avoided tackles. I don't really have a title for mine. It's
you
just
need
missed
to separate
tackles.
Yours.
Avoided, yeah. Broken,
avoided, evaded, missed, slightly missed.
I have no idea what it is, but I counted 9. But they counted 6. So on the season for Bijan Robinson, gentlemen, they have 14 what they call avoided tackles on his 51 rush attempts. I haven't looked at all his stats about the last 3 games. I'll go back and check that out and see how many forced missed tackles he has, but. This is the guy right now. This stat is from Pro Football Focus, too. 204 of his 294 rushing yards so far have come after contact.
Wow.
204 of his 294. And like I said, 14 total what they call avoided tackles. He's averaging nearly 4 yards after contact per carry right now. And in the last 3 games, as you know, and I'll give you the stats because I put them out there on Twitter. So if you want to go see them at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse, the last 3 games, Bijan Robinson is generating an explosive play. That's a 20 plus yard pass or a 10 or 15 plus yard pass or a 10 plus yard run. He's generating explosive play every 5.8 touches, averaging an explosive rush. That's 10 plus yards. Every 6.1 rushes, and he's also averaging over six yards per carry, 11 yards per reception, and 6.7 yards per touch in the last 3 weeks. He has twice as many explosive plays, that's 15-yard reception or 10-yard rush, as any player on the Texas roster not named Sam Ehlinger. And he's only received 30% of the rushes in that time span, and he's responsible for 46% of the explosive plays in that time span. He is the opposite of that equation for Texas. You give him the ball more, and he will force guys to miss tackles. Like he's going to make guys miss, and you need those are the guys that not only can move the chains, those are the guys that can change the game for you. He's a game changer. You don't have a lot of them on offense. You got Sam. I think Jordan Whittington's one of those guys. I think Jake Smith's a game changer. Other guys can be that if you put them in the right position, a Josh Moore, a Brandon Eagles. But certain guys, it doesn't matter what position you put them in. You just got to give them the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we know Jake Smith is one of those guys. Jordan Winston is one of those guys. Sam's one of those guys. All those guys should be healthy, but Bijan is one of those guys, too. I do hear that Keontae Ingram is, but they say, doubtful.
Questionable is the verbiage Herman used.
All right. Well, you know, if that means more touches for Bijan Robinson, then I want Keontae to just get healthy as possible. So you don't need to force feed him into the equation because Bijan is ready. He's ready to flourish. Like he's right in it. And I don't think you need to change it up too much. They've given him what 14 carries and 12 carries or something like that. 12 touches the last couple of games. Just ratchet it up to
18, 20 touches. Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys. If you give him, based on my numbers, if he gets the ball, if you give it to him, you know, 20 times, you're going to have 3 to 4 explosive plays in that 20 touches. He's averaging an explosive play every 5.8 touches. But he's averaging 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So he may not get you the 10-yard run, but he's going to get you 4 to 5.
Yeah, right.
Like he's averaging 4 yards after contact. He's averaging 4 yards after contact per carry.
So the biggest reason...
like these numbers are astounding.
A couple months ago when we were talking about this and the question was, should he get more carries? The biggest reason I said yes was because of the offensive line, and it backs up right there. I mean, to where this is a type of offensive line, you need someone who's going to make people miss.
Exactly.
Period.
You don't need perfect blocking every time with Bijan.
And we're not going to get it. So
you're not going to get it.
That's a good marriage.
He should be rested, right? I mean, the whole point of this rotation that we've had at the running back position all year long was to keep guys fresh. I mean, this is what you're fresh for, right?
Yeah.
This big 3-game stretch, really this big 2-game stretch, really this big 1-game stretch, the way this conference is kind of shaping up, he should be as fresh as he's ever been. And I get leery when I say, oh, this guy has to get this many touches in a certain game because you got to call your game off the flow of the game, right?
Yes,
if Bijan is averaging 2 yards a carry, he don't need to be getting 20 carries on Saturday. You got to do something else. But if he plays the way he's been playing with the numbers you just brought up, Rod B, then yeah, you have to find a way to get that dude much closer to 20 touches, if not more than that.
Man, he's a beast.
So. He is. Yeah. I'm hoping
tackling's
to see a lot
big,
of five.
John. Yeah,
tackling's
going to be big.
On both
old
sides.
School. Yep.
Escaped, avoided.
Right? I don't know.
Missed.
I'll do the research and try to figure out what their definition of it is, but I can't really
figure out. I've seen
that,
too.
You've seen
it.
They always
have
a different
yeah.
verbiage, different, yes.
But right. I've also said PFF does a good job, like most statistician, you know, or what statisticians
yeah.
do, is that they can almost make any argument from any number.
They do it well.
Because sometimes they'll contradict themselves a lot
with
of times.
With the same stats.
The same stats, and I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
True.
You guys should be working in Washington.
They might be. Soon.
He might be.
There's Rod's rant of the day here on the Triple Option with RBKD talking Texas, Iowa State. We'll continue some of that conversation. I found a glitch, gentlemen. Texas Sports screwed something up earlier today.
Uh-oh.
And I don't think anyone's called them out for it. But you know I'm going to call them out for it. That's what I do. That's why I'm employed here at the Horn.
Home of the Longhorns.
Yes. The flagship station of the University of Texas. I'm here to call out something UT screwed up earlier today. That's next. Back here on the Triple Option with RBKD, alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn, I'm BK Brad Kellner.
I like this.
Really?
I mean, I didn't think I was going to when she started singing, and I thought, someone call help.
I was worried you guys wouldn't like this.
When he came in like that, I liked it, yeah.
This song is very popular on TikTok. That's how I heard it.
Who is it?
Mac Miller.
How Fu. Mac Miller's dead, dude.
Yeah. But he still had music.
Well, he wasn't.
He's not Tupac.
Alive when TikTok was.
He's not Tupac.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's close enough. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm gonna get those dates.
I do
correct.
Like Mac Miller, though.
Yeah.
I've
listened to some since
Mac
he
Miller's,
died.
He was I'm really impressed. Yeah. I agree with you. He was talented.
Very talented. This is Pow Fu.
I like
Pow
the song
Fu.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Deathbed.
Yeah,
it's a good
okay.
song.
Appropriate title from the beginning,
yeah.
too.
I like that song. Yeah. I'm gonna have to check. Can I download it? It is on TikTok. Like, can I
no,
get the
it's
song,
a real
on
song
on Apple?
Yeah, it's okay. on Apple Music and Spotify and YouTube, KD.
Well, of course it is.
All right, YouTube.
It's on TikTok. It's on YouTube.
Yep. I shouldn't bash YouTube that much because that's how I play all of the songs coming back from breaks.
Well, well, well. Very interesting.
That's because I'm only playing one song at a time instead of trying to listen
so
to
am I.
A full album.
I'm one of those weirdos. I don't listen to 10 songs at one time.
Really? You only listen
I only listen to one song
at one
time.
And that's it? You go do something else?
No, but it only takes one song at a time.
Well,
one
song. But one song in a sitting.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you, man.
I got to digest more than one.
All right, guys. I teased this. I found a glitch in something Texas Sports did earlier today. Now, I thought I was the first person to catch this, but it turns out I am not.
Get off my lawn.
So, Tom Herman had his game week press conference earlier today, as he does every Monday of every game week. You heard it right here on the Horn. If you missed it, go to hornfm.com. I always listen live when it's aired on the Horn, but I also always go back to YouTube and watch the press conference, right? Texas does a good job of putting Tom Herman's press conference on YouTube a couple of minutes after it comes to an end. I just want to see the mannerisms that Tom Herman is using, kind of sometimes look at what he's dressed up like, and if he's in a suit and tie, or if he's, you know, if he looks like he hasn't slept a lot over the last couple of days. I don't know. I like to see things.
He looked well rested today.
He looked pretty well rested. Yeah, he's had plenty of time off.
He's had a lot of time off, yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
good for
it.
Him.
So, this was not a thing in real time. This did not air live on the Horn or on Longhorn Network. But when Texas Sports originally uploaded the video of Tom Herman's press conference, the first 15 minutes were completely fine. But I guess they made an edit at some point in the middle of the press conference, or maybe they cut a question out, or they just skipped a little bit of awkward time. I don't know exactly what happened. But I do know, midway through this video that was on YouTube until 1 hour ago, you had a major, major glitch in which there were two voices talking at the same time. So it's like they overlapped audio.
Okay.
And I'll just play some of this for you. It's pretty damn hilarious.
Okay.
This was like the last 15 minutes of the video that was on YouTube earlier today, and they did just change it an hour ago.
Who are the voices now? Obviously, Herman
and then whoever's asking questions.
Okay, I gotcha.
So I cut like a minute and a half of this because I thought it's all pretty funny. Here's how it sounded.
And how hard is it to recruit to a place
yeah,
like Ames?
You're very familiar with Ames, Iowa. Well, I don't think a place like Ames, I don't think stating it that way. It's when I was there, it was difficult just because of the geography.
I haven't been there since 2011, so I don't know.
You got two times.
Times have certainly changed all across the world since 2011. So I honestly don't know what they'd be doing in Ames, but I'm sure they'd be pretty excited.
That we stay in touch with, that we've met in Ames, and great people, great state. Great community.
Oh, I don't think a place like Ames. I don't think stating it that way.
Having to leave the state quite frequently.
When I was there, it was difficult just because of the geography and where you had to go to get your players. But Ames is a wonderful town. Iowa State is a wonderful university. And our 3 years there were full of very, very fond memories. And we still have friends to this day that we stay in touch with.
I think y'all get
very weird.
Wow.
Are they trying to like splice it and cut it real time or something, and then they left something on? Like, that's weird.
They were editing something, and they didn't double check their work, and they ended up uploading that to YouTube. So literally, like, the last 16 minutes of Tom Herman's press conference, that was uploaded to YouTube, or two people talking over each other at the same time.
And now they've been called out.
And somebody called them out. Somebody informed them before I did. Okay. I checked like 2 hours ago. I checked right before we got on the air to see if that video was still up, and sure enough, it was. But they uploaded a new video within the last hour, correcting it, making it all sound pretty normal.
Okay.
But I've got that audio forever, so.
I'm going to hold that against them.
Good job, Texas media team.
Yeah, BK is he's very critical.
Yeah.
Folks over there on the 40 acres. More critical than me. I thought I was critical.
I'm just looking for
segments.
He's
hypercritical of his family.
If they can give me a bit for the air, absolutely.
I agree with that.
And every decision I make in this life is, how can I turn this into a bit on
As
the radio?
It should be.
And sometimes they make it easy by doing stuff like that. So appreciate that, UT. Their unintentional screw-up gave us an easy segment to close out the 5 o'clock hour. That video is gone, though, so you can't hear it for yourself. All right, it's the Triple Option with RBKD. We'll have plenty more audio from Tom Herman's press conference earlier today. Also some Matt Campbell audio, too, that I want to play. Him starting to talk about the Texas game. But let's go around the NFL, gentlemen. Preview this Monday night football game coming up, Rams versus Bucks, a big one in the NFC. Give more thoughts on Cowboys and Texans and some of the other big headlines, including some PTSD I got watching one game yesterday. Next.